He is risen. Many proofs, by the way. It's one of the most attested to things in all of history, the empty tomb. Not just in religious circles or theological circles, but the evidence for the empty tomb is amazing. We're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So we're going to do that now. Okay, as opposed to after service. So the worship team's going to come back up. And the reason we're going to do that now is because every day should be for the heart of the child of God, for the Christian. Every day we should be thinking about the Lord's coming to earth, his incarnation, you know. We should think about what he did while he was here. We should be thinking about the death and the reason for the death, the brutal cross, him being laid in the tomb for 3 days, him rising from the dead, his ascending back to the Father, him making intercession for us, and one day he's coming back. And we should be thinking about that really all the time. But sometimes there are certain periods during the calendar year that we may focus on things a little bit more, and that may have been this week for some of us. The week that we say were the week that these events took place that led up to the rejection and the betrayal, the denial, the false trials, the sentence of death, the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. So as we think about that, we remember that, you know, he did this for us. And when we come to the Lord's table, it's a solemn time, but it's also a time of rejoicing. It's a time of remembrance, but it's a time of celebration. And it's the time that took place prior to the events of the cross, right? So we're going to come up and receive the Lord's Supper first to think about the price that was paid for our sin. To think about why he had to rise, it's because he had to die. And why did he have to die? Because we were hopeless and done. But he did it. And let's remember the great sacrifice that was paid by him. The perfect sacrifice. Sinless sacrifice. Who became sin, not his sin, our sin. He took our sin upon himself to pay the penalty for you, for me, that when we believe and receive it in our hearts, he promised forgiveness. We don't deserve it, but he promised it. And for that, we want to remember this great sacrifice. So our brother's going to come up, and you want to have the elements. Now, I want to mention something. We actually have this wonderful matzah that was prepared. Charles prepared it for us today. If anyone has a concern about the gluten, this is a gluten-free one that he actually prepared for us today. So in this one here, so if that's a concern to you. But I want to ask you guys to come up out of your seats in, starting from the first rows up this way, and just come down the front and then around the sides back to your seats, and we'll all receive the elements, and then we will partake together. So if you can start that now as our worship team begins to play for us.
Cleansing flow. Now all I know
Knowing what was going to come, you know, the betrayal and all those different things and the cross, knowing that it was happening in real time, you know, Jesus set aside this time to celebrate this meal with them, the Passover meal. And he did it because he was going to tell them that this meal was now going to be something different going forward. He will be the fulfillment of what took place and what was promised. And he said to them, and it's declared in Luke's version, his gospel of this, he says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He wanted to spend that time to celebrate, to remember, to be intimate, to be close. And he said something interesting here. He said, for I say unto you, I will not eat any more thereof until it be filled in the kingdom of God. There's a great supper coming one day, church, that we're all going to celebrate in with the Lord together around his table. It's going to be amazing. And then he took a cup, not the cup that we associate, which we'll take in a moment, with the new covenant. He took a cup, and he said that as he took this cup, I will not drink of it anymore until the kingdom of God come. He was talking about his return. He was signifying his return, which hasn't happened yet, but it will. But then he took the bread. This bread that's unleavened, bread that has the scars and the representing his body that would be broken for us. And he took this bread and he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup again after supper. He said, this cup, not going to represent what the Passover represented. It's not going to represent the lamb that was slain, the doorpost and the lamb. Not going to represent that. It's not going to represent your freedom from physical slavery from Egypt. It's going to represent your freedom from the slavery of sin in my blood that will be shed for you. He says he took this cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And we do this in remembrance of him. And we thank him for this great sacrifice. And we thank him for the fact that he died and he paid the price in full. Tetelestai, paid in full. And the payment was made in full. And as it was, then what we celebrate this morning is the empty tomb, which is the receipt. It has been fulfilled and paid and accepted by God. So let's just sing the end of that one more time as we get ready for the word.
Worthy is the Lamb.
No one else is worthy.
Seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. High and lifted up. Jesus, Son of God. The darling of heaven crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
The kids are staying up here, so let's thank them again. And just it was wonderful. And guys, you get to listen to me, so, you know, it's not as much fun as Miss Meg and Jen, but, you know, you get to listen to me for a little while this morning. Father, and bless your word now to our hearts. Let us receive it with gladness, and let us live it out in joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So, well, welcome, by the way. Glad you're with us today. Some of you haven't seen for a little while. Some of you were seeing recently for the first time, maybe. And welcome to First Christian Assembly. I'm glad you're here. I hope you make it part of your routine and habit to come to worship with us and to join us even midweek for Bible studies and so forth. Yeah, Gloria screwed up the announcements, huh? I heard her say it. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating what she already said. But you can go on the website, announcements. If you have the bulletin, even the old one, you can get the QR code, and it downloads. You can get the link and download the app to the church, so if you can get announcements, notifications, da da da. All the messages are, you know, recorded. They're put up on both the app and the website. So a lot of information, and we try to get out, you know, information to you as best we can. And as this week, I was mentioning earlier that, you know, we think sometimes more on certain times of the year about, you know, Jesus' death and his resurrection and so forth. A few weeks ago, it just kept coming over and over to me, over and over and over and over and over and over. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm going back a couple weeks, easy, just over. And every time, like, I was quiet for a minute, behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God. But the emphasis in that behold the Lamb of God was really on the behold. On the behold. I mean, I was hearing, behold the Lamb of God, but I was hearing the emphasis on behold. You know, this phrase was said by John the Baptist regarding Jesus. When he said it at the time, back then, when he saw Jesus in the crowd, said, behold the Lamb of God, pointed him out. He was saying to the crowd, and they would understand this, they would be saying to themselves, wait, the Lamb, they would think about the Passover Lamb. They would think about the perfect lamb that they had to, when they say perfect lamb, they had to have a lamb without blemish that they would make sacrifice to atone for their sin, you know, temporarily atone for their sin. And they'd be thinking about that. They would be thinking about the original time this was celebrated when they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the lentils. And then when the angel of death came into Egypt, it spared everybody that was in the households with the blood of the lamb. Either firstborns were not killed, they were preserved. They would think about that. They would think about leaving Egypt, going through the Red Sea, coming up on the other side free from slavery. They would think about those things, and he would say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We have an opportunity to think about that always. But maybe this week you were thinking about it more. But I want to focus on this morning the behold. It's an interesting word. It appears in at least the King James version of the Bible over 1,200 times. Now, I cannot make this as a declarative statement. I'm not going to say this is 100% true, but as I was reading through, I didn't read through all 1,200, but I read a lot of them. As I was reading through these beholds, I began to look at them and say, you know what? You can take the whole of the Bible just from the behold scriptures and get the whole story. It was amazing. Now, I can't prove that yet, but in my mind, I'm saying, wow. As I began to look at all these verses with behold, 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 and I'm saying, wait, it's the message. And it's not the word behold that is in such a way that it is, you know, behold, just take a look at something. It actually, in the original languages, both the Hebrew and the Greek, it is a command. It's a command. When John said behold, he's not just saying, hey, take a look over there. He's saying, wait, stop, look, really look. Hey, you, look, look. I'm telling all of you to look at that one over there. Behold the Lamb of God. He's saying it is a command. Pay attention to. Open your eyes. Really fix your gaze upon this one I'm pointing to. It's more than just look at. It's a deep contemplation. Look at it with reverence, with awe, with an intent to understand what you're looking at. That's the idea. Behold it. Understand what you're looking at. They needed to do it then. We need to do it today. So many people, some of you here, some of you that will encounter people today that they've never truly beheld the Lamb of God. They saw him. They looked at him. They heard about him. They watched a movie about him. They maybe even read the Bible about him. But they never really beheld him. They never really, wow. And to the point of it's going to do something when I behold this one. When I behold this one, there's something's going to take place. You can't really behold Jesus and come away the same way. You can't. So I want to say to many of us today, take the command seriously. Behold him. Behold him. Look at him with awe. Look at him with amazement. Look at him. Pay attention. Hear, see, look. It talks about that it's something exciting, something amazing, something is about to happen or take place. So this morning we're going to look at all 1,200 verses. Now we're going to look at a few of them though. See, go way back in the Bible, way back, the first page or two, when God created everything, created this world. You know what it says, Genesis 1:31? And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Now that says indeed. I guess that's New King James. King James says behold. That word indeed is the same thing. In the root language, it's the same root word. It means behold. Take a look. Wow, it's really good. This is amazing what he created. Look on it. It's amazing. We see creation in all its wonder, and we see it in a fallen state. We don't see it in its original state. And still, it's wondrous. But when, could you imagine what it was like back then? Behold, God said it's very good. And he put man in the garden, and he said, man and the woman, he said, this is yours. This is great. Relax in it. Enjoy it. Be fruitful. Be multiply. This is made for you. Just do not eat of the one tree in the middle of the garden that I told you not to eat of. That was the only command that they had to obey. Negative command. Everything was positive. All the other commands were positive. Enjoy it. Don't eat of that one tree. And what did they do? Ate of the one tree. That's our heart. You know what it says in the scripture? Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, The man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Behold, this wonder that man couldn't even get the one thing right. Couldn't even get the one thing right because of the hardness and rebellious hearts. Don't blame them. You would have done the same thing. So would I. We all would have done it. Well, when God could have, in my mind, probably should have, destroyed everything and every human being, because all it did from that time forward when sin came into the world, it kept getting worse, 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 got to the point where it was so bad, he said, I got to get, and again, none of this surprised God, but he said, now it's time. He brought judgment to the world, and he wiped out the entire world with the flood, except for Noah and his family. And what did he say? Genesis 9:9, after the flood, he says to Noah and his family, and I, behold, establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. In other words, there's a new opportunity here. I could have, and again, I, in my mind, should have wiped you all out, but I kept you guys alive to keep the human race alive. And I'm making a covenant with you now. What was that covenant? What was the covenant? Ultimately, what he spoke back in the garden when he was judging their sin from eating from the tree, he told them that there was going to come a deliverer, a Messiah, a Savior to destroy the work of sin. He told them that. And now as we're looking at these verses, I'm going to fast forward ahead and the prophet Isaiah then says this amazing thing in Isaiah 7:14. He says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign that what he promised is going to take place. You could look for this sign. You could bank on this sign. This sign will be something you can be amazed when it happens, but look for it. Because you know what he says? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Behold this. This is amazing. This is amazing that God would do this. We don't deserve it, but he said, I'm going to show you, and then to make sure you know that you really look at the one that's going to come, behold, the virgin shall conceive. And she did. Matthew said about Mary, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she did. He was born of woman. Not born of man, the virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the sinless, perfect Lamb of God came into the world. And of this perfect servant, it said in Isaiah 42, behold my servant, behold him, behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. In other words, when John said behold, that's the one they were to look at, the one that the virgin bore. Make no mistake about it. A lot of people claim to be Messiah, but there was only one. They're in the future, even now. There's others that claim to be Messiah. There's even one coming that the rest of the world's going to believe is the Messiah. But no, there is only one who came from the virgin. He has already come, and his name was Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. And in that particular passage of Isaiah, he was using that in that time, back in Isaiah's time, the context was to get people to pivot their mindset. In other words, you're looking at all this. They were looking at their idolatry. They were looking at their idols. They were looking at all the things that they thought they needed. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never heard this before, hear it now. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. Of one sort or another. And we all go to get the help we think we need somehow. Even us tough guys, we go like, I don't need any help. Yeah, we know we need help. And maybe we try to help ourselves by looking to ways to help ourselves, but we need help. We know we're messed up. But you know what? We're always looking for the wrong kind of help. Well, if only I could fix my money problem. If only I could fix my education problem. If only I could fix my, weight problem. If only I could fix my, my health problem. If only I could fix my, anger problem. If only I could fix we add all the issues that we know we have. If only I could get those all fixed, I'll be okay. And guess what? You could fix all those problems and you're still in trouble. Because your problem and my problem, the problem of every human being that came into the world from the time of Adam and Eve up until now and into the future, the problem that we all have is called sin. And that's what causes all the other issues. without sin in the world, there was perfection. And guess what? God didn't bring sin into the world. You did, I did, we did. And that's our problem. But we don't always recognize that. In fact, I'm guarantee you there's many in this room today that don't recognize that. That's your issue. And you're just not alone because it's our issue. So God uses behold to focus their attention onto not what they think they need, onto what they really need. Look, my servant's coming. The people knew they needed help. So now the people are like, okay, 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 okay. And just like people are, they weren't any different back then than they are now. People are at the heart still the same. Okay? Malachi chapter 3, when they were staying to God, basically this. Okay, God. I'm summarizing basically what the book of Malachi is about. Okay, God, you made all these promises. Where are they? Come on, God, where are they? You made the promises. Where are they? And then they're saying to themselves, well, we don't really need much. We're okay. We're doing good. And God said, no, you're not. You're messing up big time. But he says to them in Malachi chapter 3, the last book of the Old Testament, behold, somebody say behold with me. You're going to love this word by the time we're finished today. It's going to become your new favorite word. And it's not the furniture polish. Behold. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This was two messengers that are talked about there, if you're paying attention. The first one was the messenger who was going to announce the second messenger. The first one was John the Baptist, who would say, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The second one was the messenger himself. The second one was the messenger himself. Jesus Christ, because he came for the greatest need of all, for their sin. And if you're still not sure, I'm going to give you a proverb, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12. If thou sayest, see, you might say, I did for much of my life, I said, oh, behold, I said this, behold, we didn't know. Doth he not pondereth the heart to consider it, and he that keepeth the soul? Doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man according to his works? I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was a sinner before God. I thought I was a pretty good person. I didn't believe in God, but I figured that if there was and I was wrong and I got there, he'd say, well, Joe, you did the best you can. You're pretty good. So you know what? All the stuff you didn't believe in, I'll let you into heaven anyway. I thought that was true. And guess what? No, guess what? If I would have stood before God without giving my life to Jesus Christ, he would have given me what I deserved. You know what I deserve? Death. Hell. Because that's what we all deserve. Behold that. Ponder that for a moment. Don't just think you're okay, because you're not. Without Jesus Christ, you have a death sentence upon you, not just physical death, but eternal death. Well, for all of this, a Savior was born into the world. Behold, John said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then the next day, John 1:35 and 36, he says the same thing. He to his disciples saw him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. He said it twice for the emphasis. Here he is. Look at him. Make sure you do not miss it. Do not miss him. There's a change taking place. There's a paradigm shift because the Savior's come into the world. Fix your eyes upon him. Change your perspective. Change your outlook. Change your thinking. Something's changing in the atmosphere because the one that was promised to you, the one that was coming from the virgin, the one, the only one that can save you from your sin, the only one who all history is going to revolve around is now here. It's changing now. Make sure you don't miss it. You say, well, that happened 2,000 years ago. Yeah, but you still have a chance to get it today and see it because we're still in this thing called the age of grace. But after all of the prophecies, after all of the evidence, after all the announcements, after all the fulfillments, after all of that, right? When he came to the world, the people didn't go, yes, here he is. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I love you. I accept you. No, you know what they did? They crucified him. They rejected him. They betrayed him. They denied him. They ran from him. They cursed him. Jesus even said it. I could have read it when we were reading from Luke's gospel before I had communion, but he said this. He said this, but, Luke 22, 21, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me at the table. Isn't that amazing? One of the intimate group was at the table with them, Judas by name, who saw the miracles, lived with Jesus for 3 years, listened to his teaching, saw all that, and yet behold, he was going to betray him. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Yes, you don't know the depths of your heart, own heart. And he did betray him. And then Peter denied him. And the rest of them scattered and ran away. All his close followers, we'll die for you. And they're gone. Just like your posse will if somebody came after you. Be like, woo! They ran. Pilate himself knew there was nothing guilty in Jesus. But he knew the pressure that was coming upon him to have this execution take place. And he whipped him and he beat him. And then you know what he did? Comparing him even to Barabbas, he brings Jesus out before that crowd when he was beaten, when he was bruised for our iniquities, when the chastisement of our peace was upon him. As he was beaten with the stripes, he said in John 19:5, behold the man. Here he is. Don't you see? He's innocent. But look at him. He's beaten to a bloody mess. Behold the man. In some ways, look, Pilate is not being let off the hook here. Not by any means. But Pilate still understood that he did nothing wrong. In other words, isn't this enough? Have some compassion on this guy. Look, he's beaten to a pulp. He did nothing wrong. Behold the man. And they were like, away with him, away with him. Give us Barabbas. And then he later puts Jesus in front of them again. You know what he says in John 19:14? Behold your king. You said that he's here because he said he was your king. And what did they say? We have no king but Caesar, who they hated with contempt, but they rejected the author of life, the lover of their soul. Behold your king. And they did not behold their king. Well, in spite of all of this, that's why God's God and we're not. In spite of all of that, he still went through with the plan. And that's why the scripture says in 1 John, John's epistle, chapter 3, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Behold, this is amazing that there's many in the world today, many in this room today, and I pray that it becomes all of us in this room today, and everybody that's listening to this today, I pray that, behold, we would realize who Jesus is and accept him in our life and know that even with all the rejection, God still in love went to the cross for us, and that when we accept his forgiveness, he bestows that manner of love upon us to call us his children, his sons and daughters, forgiven, adopted into the family. And guess what, church? When you live for Christ, understand the world will, when you really live as a Christian, the world will look at you differently. And the world, what does it say here? Therefore, the world knoweth us not. And why do they look at us differently? Because they don't know him. Behold that. Behold it. Think about it. Think about that in your own life. See, we should be able to live as Christians, those of us who accepted Christ's forgiveness into our heart and were born again. We should all, with Corinthians 3:18, we should all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, we should be being transformed into his image. In other words, when we're born again, we shouldn't put a bushel over this new life. We should live it out. Let the glory of the Lord shine for us, that the world may behold his glory in us. Not our glory, his glory. Behold it. Don't be ashamed of the new creation you are in Christ. Let people behold him in you. But they crucified him. Matthew 26:65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you've heard this blasphemy. Wow, behold the blasphemy. He didn't blaspheme. He is God. He was God. He always will be God. Matthew 27:51, and behold, when they crucified him, when they put him on the cross, when he paid the price in full, and behold, the temple of the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks went. Behold that amazing thing, that God, Jesus Christ, when he gave his life, when he paid the penalty in full, he satisfied the sin debt for the entire world, and the veil of the temple, which separated the regular people from the holiness of God, where nobody can go into the holy place of God, was torn in two. So this way, when we now accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have access to God. Behold that, church. We take that way too casually, that we can pray and say, Our Father, and he says, Yes, child, come and sit with me. Behold the miracle, the amazement that God spends time with us when we call. Oh, Father, I want to pray. Okay, child, I'm ready. Behold that. Think about that. But guess what? We're celebrating today that he didn't stay dead, right? Matthew 28:2-9. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And then what does he say? And he says later, go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as I have told you. In verse 9, and as they went to tell the disciples, you know, after the angel said this, behold now, behold, Jesus met them, risen alive, right? All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Later, he appeared to the disciples, and he appeared to them because they still didn't believe. And he says in Luke 24, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. In other words, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit, I'm not an hallucination. It is me alive again. Behold this wonder. The grave had no claim on me, had no victory over me. Well, you know what? All of the Bible, church, all of the Bible, all of it has to do with this story. All of it has to do with our sin, and then Jesus' love for us and the plan of redemption. I have a couple more beholds, and we're closing. Hebrews chapter 7. Then I said, behold, I have come, Jesus, in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. It's all in here. Some of you have never beheld this book. I didn't believe anything until I read this book. And then this book came alive when I beheld the risen Lord. And I beheld my sin. And I knew I had to make a change. I needed that or I was going to be lost eternally. And when you believe that message, you can go out with that message. And we have the great commission to go out and to proclaim the gospel to everyone. Not only just speaking words, but living a life, letting the light of Christ shine through us. And Jesus said, listen, I send you out like sheep as wolves, Matthew 10:16. Behold, behold, I send you out. In other words, Lord, you're sending me out to this rabble? Well, right, you were part of that rabble. Yeah, I know, but I'm different now. Yeah, but go back to them. But Lord, they'll tear me apart. Well, yeah, but he says in Matthew 28, when he sent us out, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I don't send you alone. I'm with you. I've given you power to overcome, to bring the message to every creature. And what's the message? Well, the message of the gospel, the message we heard today, that message that Jen and Meg read, the message the kids were singing about, the message is that we need a Savior. The only Savior is Jesus. Without him, we are dead in our sins, but he came and died for us on the cross, and to prove it, he rose from the dead from the third day. And if you believe that in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved, born again into his family, and guess what? You'll have eternal life. And Jesus today is saying another behold to many here today. And he's also saying it to those who are Christians who are hiding the message in their heart, not proclaiming it. Behold, Revelation 20, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, listen, it's time, church, to get out and do it. It's time for you if you have to accept it. Now's the accepted time. Revelation 5, 5 and 6. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent to all the earth. It's amazing what Jesus did, that he died for the sin debt of the entire world. Behold that message. He is overcome. And part of our message is this. He rose on the third day. He walked on this earth. He was seen by many. And then he later ascended back to the Father with the promise not only to be with us until he comes back, but the promise is that I will come back. And part of our message includes, you better get ready now, because one day he's coming back. And when he comes back, if you didn't accept the first message, it's too late. Revelation 19. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Revelation 21, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." See, they rejected him, but he gave them an opportunity to receive it by faith. But if you die or you wait till the time he comes back, it's too late. He comes a second time to punish those who do not believe, with eternal fire and eternal separation from him. But the promise to those who believe, that we hear a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, now the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God." Then he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said, "Write these words, because these words are true and faithful." And then Jesus himself said, "Behold," Revelation 22, "I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And behold, verse 12, "I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according to his works." Behold. Whether it's in the Old Testament, behold the promise of the one to come, the virgin birth, behold this servant who I put my spirit upon. Even way back, and you know, I see him afar off. Behold, I see him. It's not now, but it's coming, whether it's back in the Old Testament or it's today. It's an announcement to the world. And at his second coming, it says this of Jesus, Revelation chapter 1. "Behold, he comes with clouds. Nobody's going to miss him. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Again, now is the time to believe the message. Now is the time to behold his glory. Now is the time to behold the message of salvation, because then it will be too late. And every creature on the earth, or those that are already under the earth, will wail because they said, "I should have believed. I should have beheld him. I should have accepted him. But now it's too late." So here it is, church. Behold the amazing Jesus. Behold the amazing gospel. Behold the amazing empty tomb. Behold the wonderful reversal. In the Old Testament, in Genesis, what was it? We were to behold our own sin and our own nakedness and our own shame and our own separation from God. And then in the book of Revelation, what do we behold? Well, if you overcome because you received Christ as your Lord and Savior and you beheld his glory and you received it for yourself, you know what you will do? You will see the face of God. And you will walk with him for all eternity. What choice will you make as you behold the message of the gospel? Father, thank you for this word today on a time when we want to celebrate and behold the Lamb of God and behold the risen Savior. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power in your word. Thank you, Lord God, that your word, you promised, will never return void. So I pray for the hearers today that, Lord, the church would wake up and behold your glory and be changed by your power, be transformed more into your likeness every day. Lord, I pray that those would be hearing for the first time to know that you're calling to them to behold your goodness, behold your love, behold your sacrifice, behold the claims, behold, to look at it, to check it out, to do what they need to do, to search out the truth that they need to know. And we're hoping today that as we go out as witnesses, that those, some who are here and others that we'll share this message with, that we will come back and they will come back with testimonies to say, behold what Jesus did in my life. Behold, I shared the gospel with someone and they came to Christ. Oh, behold the marvelous work of the gospel. So Lord, thank you. And we rejoice and look forward to your second return, that we will behold to be holding your glory through all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.